Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, this is Jackie Cation, and you are about to listen to the Dork Forest since 2006. And it is on iTunes, of course, where you may have received it. You may have gotten it at dorkforest.com. Feel free to review it on iTunes. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network, allthingscomedy.com, where my new hour special, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, is available for $5 download. Knock yourselves out. My website, JackieCation.com, has a player if you want to just listen to it and you don't want to do iTunes. And JackieCation.com has everything. It has my stand-up schedule. It has a merch page where you can get Dork Forest t-shirts and even order a Dork Forest hoodie if you like. All of the shirts are made in America because while I'm willing to wear clothing that are made by toddlers, I'm unwilling to sell clothing made by toddlers. The hoodie, special ordered, for some reason, still made in the Philippines. I don't know why. Possibly because they're super cozy and I don't sell that many of them, but I should work on that. Anyway, there's a chance to donate to the Dork Forest. If you enjoy the Dork Forest, feel free to donate. $100 a year makes you a super fan, and you could do that in one chunk of $100, or you could break it up however you want, because I have not made that easy for you. It would be $8.33 a month if you want to do it. You could also just order stuff if you want Dork Forest t-shirts or CDs or DVD. I have 3 CDs out and 1 DVD, and you can order all of them. You could order a t-shirt, you could order a hoodie, and that will also support the show, and I totally appreciate that. Yeah, just so you know, the DVD of the Horcrux is Friday Second Show. That is the video. And the CD is Saturday Second Show. I don't know. I didn't videotape that one, but I like that set better. So that is the CD. The DVD is approximately 56 minutes long, and the CD, about 40, 48. So they're different sets, but they're the same material. And it's weird, but I like it. The credits. Let's credit the people that make this show possible, quite honestly. We have Mike Rickberg, who sang the intro song and composed the intro song and sings it with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen, and he will sing Mexican Hat Dance at the end of this. The audio is fixed every week, and the teasers are created by Mr. Patrick Brady, friend of the show. Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. So if you're looking for someone to do your website, go to JackieCation.com, scroll down, and click on that link. All right, let's do this. Enjoy. At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites. I probably already said it. Anyway, Doug Mallard, welcome to my home.
Thank you for
having
me.
Here in beautiful downtown Van Nuys. Helicopter test area. And you're here.
Helicopter
you're standing
test area.
Yeah, you know, we often get a lot of helicopters.
Oh, man.
And there's not that much crime, even though the implication is that there's crime in Van Nuys.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't see any crime, knock on something. But what we do see is a lot of helicopters, preventing crime. But Andy, my husband's speculation is that this is where they practice their helicopter flying. This is a helicopter test area.
Well, they need to do that, I guess, for L.A. because
sure, there's other
choppers
places.
Everywhere.
Right. And we're in like a, there's a hospital somewhere and there's, you know, we have the airport. And so there's
lots of helicopters.
Lots of things are happening.
Good Lord.
It's loud. Anyway, Doug Mallard, M-A-L-L.
M-E.
M-E-L-L-A-R-D. I swapped the E and the A.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Mallard, M-A-L-L-E-R-D. And that's on Twitter, Instagram, stand-up comedy. People should come see you do the stand-up
comedy.
With the talking and the joking. Well, where
with
did you start stand-up?
In Austin, Texas.
There we go. And but you and I are going to discuss the magical world of Magnum P.I.
Yes, we are.
Well, we're going to start with that. You and Huntsberger? Huntsberger Junk?
Yeah, David Huntsberger, Huntsberger Junk. We have. It started actually in Austin. Like he started out prior to Austin. I think he was doing comedy, but he really kind of got his, I guess, real start in quotes.
Sure.
In Austin,
I started in Madison, Wisconsin. Got my real start in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. Oh, Acme Comedy Club.
That's
great
it.
Club. And you know, so we had a lot of adventures in Austin, and he got me. You know, as a kid, I really liked Magnum PI.
Right.
But there was, like, he would wake up and watch, there's Magnum PI on at 11 and then at 1. And so he got
on
me.
Ion?
Just
this
like on
TV?
Where, CW yeah, or something, okay. You know? And then, so he got me back into it. And then the DVDs started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would just go on these mad marathons. And I just got so sucked into the world of Donald P. Belisario, who is a genius. He's also behind Quantum Leap.
Sure. Let's not deny his other work.
No.
And some
Quantum Leap is fantastic.
Magnum PI for our younger listeners.
Yeah.
Explain that it is a television program.
It's a television show about a man with a mighty mustache.
That's one of that is his distinctive. I just saw Quigley Down Under on the television the other day, which is one of his feature length. You know, he's not big enough he can't fill the big screen.
Yeah.
But he's huge on the small screen.
Yeah. Yeah. He really.
Guy knocks it out of the park.
We were watching the other day, we get together, we have Magnum Mondays. Well, I should finish. So it's a detective, a private eye, Magnum
right.
PI, hence the PI.
Right.
And
an investigator.
He stays in a mansion that belongs to, Robin Masters, who's never there. And,
who is Robin Masters?
He's
is that the character's name?
Yeah,
or is that
he writes these romantic novels and
okay,
these novels.
And it's in Hawaii.
Yeah, and it takes place in Hawaii. I just learned this because I'm so excited because CBS I believe put it out and they
that
had filmed
about right.
Hawaii 5-0 and they still had all this leftover kind of budget from Hawaii or whatever. So
okay.
They're like, we need a show. It was going to take place in LA, I think, and they're mm-hmm. like. Now we still got stuff we can use in Hawaii, so that's why it's in Hawaii. And a lot of it makes no sense in Hawaii. Like, we watched one recently where there was a horse show, the International Hawaii Horse. What?
What?
There were the cowboys.
And Huntsberger. He came on Dark Forest and dorked out about horsies.
Yeah.
That guy knows some horse talk.
He's a big cowboy.
And why would... Yeah, he can shoe horses and everything. But so they had a horse show, and David Huntsberger did not think that was... that's where the suspension of disbelief went.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it was all shut down. Today's craft services are frozen grapes, by the way, because it's a million
Delicious.
Degrees outside.
My sensitive teeth are. I want more, but it hurts.
Know. They're very. It'll by the end of the hour, they'll be. You can have as many as you want.
It'll be regular
they'll
grapes.
Be regular grapes. Okay, so that's the premise. So he is house sitting essentially forever.
Yeah, well, he's like a house guest. Higgins is the butler. He watches the mansion. And
wait, is Higgins the tiny man who was Kit the Car voice?
He's got the British guy
yeah.
with the tiny mustache and
the voice of Kit the Car.
Oh yeah.
And,
Knight
Rider.
I think
Knight Rider.
Might be another.
You think it was wrong?
I think that was the guy. He was in what was that? Boy Meets World. I think.
Okay.
Different guy. Same ballpark.
Been.
Yeah.
Oh, me and my me and my British voices don't know. Can't do it.
But
anyway, so Higgins, he was only the frickin' butler.
Yeah, he was just the butler, but.
I thought he was a neighbor with his own mansion.
No, he just ran the place while Robin Masters is gone. You never see
okay.
Masters. Like, I think it's revealed in the final episode. But and then he's got his friends TC and Rick, Larry Minetti. God, what a great name. His real name is Larry Minetti.
Okay.
And he always screws over his buddies, like TC and Rick. He just constantly he's a horrible friend. Magnum PI, great detective, horrible person. He's just constantly roping them into adventures and there's
dangerous.
They're shot at constantly. He needs TC's helicopter. He runs a helicopter tour thing.
Oh,
he's always just like, TC, I need your helicopter. We're bringing it back to helicopters. And so he's just constantly using his friends who are almost killed. I saw one
almost
recently,
every episode or
every episode. And there was one recently where he's like, Rick, grab your sushi costume. What? And
oh, cause one of the guys is he Japanese?
I don't know why
what are their ancestries?
Yeah,
are they all white guys?
There's TC's
people?
A black guy.
Okay.
The other guys are all white,
and TC is the helicopter.
He's the helicopter
pilot.
Guy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And but yeah, That was quite an adventure.
Grab your sushi costume.
Yeah, grab your sushi costume. I forgot we had to go in disguise. It was ridiculous, though. And then they got shot at. Somebody busted out an Uzi on the streets of Hawaii. Cause,
wow. You know,
Hawaii seems really dangerous.
Super
according
dangerous.
According to Magnum PI.
David Sedaris got his laptop stolen there once.
Really?
Yeah. That's, I think, the more likely kind of crime that's going on.
Yeah, that's the worst crime that's ever happened.
I think the crimes that are occurring in Hawaii are pretty mellow.
Other than Godzilla, I guess, in the recent
film. Right, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're still recovering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it could have been worse if it wouldn't have been for Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
He stopped those two prehistoric birdie things.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so those are your main characters. The butler, where does he live? Does he have a guest house essentially?
You know what? I think he has Magnum has the guest house, and they're always negotiating what Magnum can use. Like, he gets the Ferrari in the first episode or two.
Okay.
And by the way, Mike Post does the greatest. It's one of the greatest theme songs ever. The Magnum PI, just a rocking theme song. They don't use it though for like the first 11 or 12 episodes. They use this kind of jazzy, lame theme song. And I actually have the 45 of the Mike Post Magnum, and it's
Mike Post composed and sang.
It was no singing, just rocking guitar. And then throughout every episode, if the tone slows down a notch, it's this theme, but it's just slowed down.
They do that on, it's the Brady Bunch. Remember the seesaw?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Da 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 da.
Yeah, it's just
because the kids are tired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And,
so they do that when there's something, they just play the theme slowly behind
it. Yeah, if something goofy happens, it's a little like goofier tone, but the same damn song, and it's
awesome.
It's just ridiculous. And yeah, I don't know. Like, it's such a rocket that we were actually disappointed with the horse episode that they didn't have like a twangy, like please, for the love of God.
Steel guitar.
Yeah,
steel
like
guitar little, version little, of
yeah.
That would have been unstoppable. What year was it on?
I think it started in 78 or 79.
Okay.
And went for 7 or 8 seasons.
Wow.
It really picks up right now. So we have these Magnum Mondays where we watch Magnum PI and then we play Sega Genesis. And it's just a night to unplug. Yeah. And we did a lot of that in Austin. And we just got a goof of old times. But
right. And it's so this is a Monday evening that you and
Yeah,
David
yeah,
Hunter
yeah.
Are
you know,
gathering.
If we're not doing shows, and sometimes we'll like, hey, let's go to a show together or this, that. We'll have our Magnum Mondays. It's very important.
And do you have the DVDs?
It's on Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix.
Oh, it's streaming.
Yes.
All right.
As is Quantum Leap, which I just found out.
No time like the present.
Yeah.
I love Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
Scott
so
Bakula,
good.
Of course, rhymes with Butt Cracula. A lot of people don't remember that. They thought about naming him Butt Cracula. Anyway.
I love him.
And he's the best. He's so great.
I used to, very early on in my career, I would, if I was having a bad set, I would just turn to no one and say, Al, why haven't I leapt yet? No one ever got it. There would be one guy that would be like, yes. And I would be like, you and I connect. The rest of the audience can screw themselves.
I have a
themselves.
Lissa Strada joke that has the exact same response to that. My Sophocles set is not going very well, is what I'm saying, to my ancient Greek references. Anyway, nice. So. Okay. I'm having a grape. Okay, this could be like the very famous Matt Knutson shrimp episode where there was too much eating and the audience was disgusted and befuddled and one guy stopped listening. Anyway, that's right. Every 100 episodes, you guys, I'm going to eat during an episode. But it's, you know, it's usually cashews and chocolate, but I seem to be out of chocolate, so I brought you some.
I forgot to mention I'm deathly allergic to grapes.
Oh, okay.
Just going
If you're allergic to grapes, there are grapes in these grapes.
Did you know,
joke works better with the cashews.
Do you know dogs are deathly allergic to grapes?
I did not know that.
Just found that out.
I thought it was chocolate.
That too.
And work.
Grapes is on
it,
yeah.
Dogs are really allergic to? Fucking getting a job. Get off your ass, dog.
Damn lazy ass dogs.
Except for those horse-cutting dogs. Those guys can't stop working.
What?
There's like those little horse shepherd dogs, the shepherd dogs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and even the therapy dogs, I feel bad for those guys because they've got a job, but you're not allowed to pet them. Like if you see one out, a friend of mine was just like, oh, cute, and wanted to pet this dog. And it's like torture, and the dog's wagging its tail. It wants to be pet, but you can't.
No, no, you can't.
So cruel.
Well, to some extent, you're not supposed to touch other people's dogs.
Yeah, true.
It's,
when the battle
for the Planet of the Apes comes, that's one of the reasons why the apes revolted. Because they're like, we are not your pets.
I will tell you
who can scratch behind my ear and who cannot. Anyway, with the therapy dogs, it's like police dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I love German Shepherds. They're my favorite dog.
They're the best.
They're one of my favorite dogs. And I always want to pet this German Shepherd or the TSA, you know, bomb sniffing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know better. I know better than to do it, but I still want to, you know.
I got so excited once at an airport. That was the whole story. I saw a drug dog on the other side of the security gate.
Oh, right.
But in front of that, on my side, there was like 8 kids running around on a little sugar high, just going crazy. Their mom, it was like 6 a.m. The mom is just not awake yet. She can't deal with it. And one of the children, this little boy, is bouncing up and down, bouncing up and down, bouncing up and down. I wasn't in the mood. The girl I was dating with wasn't in the mood. And in his backpack, it was a clear backpack, he had a live rabbit. And it was like kind of unzipping as he jumped. And I was like, and she was like, well, you should probably say something. Oh God. 2007 or something.
Okay. So like after 9/11.
Yeah. And it was that weird thing where she was kind of like, you know, maybe one of us should say something. And then kind of like, you should maybe say something. But I was just like, no, I want to see how this plays. Like, if a bunny gets out and a German Shepherd goes nuts, that would be like the greatest. I was so disappointed.
You're like
it didn't
reaching
happen.
For your phone.
Yeah.
You're like, where can I find? Oh my God. That's the worst. Okay. So Magnum P.I. We're back to it.
There's Dobermans in that.
Oh yeah. Who has Dobermans?
I've seen Robert Masters, you know.
Oh, the guy has Dobermans.
How am I blanking on the Doberman, Apollo? Oh,
well,
my
the
God.
Names of the dogs?
I know the names
Athena,
of the dogs.
Other Greek
Shoot.
Gods, Hermes.
I'm an idiot.
That's all right. People will yell things at their iPod. It'll be fine. And but how many dogs are there?
There's just the two. Hate Magnum. So it's just another little obstacle for Magnum.
Okay, because I the montage in the beginning of the show, he is running from the Dobermans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if Higgins is mad at him, he'll sick him on him.
He'll release the dogs.
There's a lot of whimsical Higgins Magnum, you
where
know.
They're really just best of friends. But
yeah,
the
deep down
season.
They love each other, but it's a hard, tough love. And
where are you guys in the watching?
Thank God we're almost through season one, because season one is actually pretty rough. Like the writing picks up; they get different writers,
like
season two, season three. So
well, everything has to shake loose. It takes a little bit. So 22 episodes in that first season?
No, actually, I think, you know what? I think it's 18. I think we're on 16.
Okay.
And what's crazy, we've just decided like, we have to, you know, if we ever decide to leave Los Angeles, we have to wait until we watch about 2 episodes a year. So we have at least 4 years that we're stuck here because we have to do this every Monday.
Right.
And then give or take a few, we missed a couple Mondays. I think he was on the road.
Already behind.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Slacking.
So the first season is the hardest one.
Yeah, we just watched 2 episodes. We're just the worst.
Is there always a love interest?
Yeah, he gets, well, God, 2 of the funniest things is, okay, one, there's always alcohol in every episode. He always has a beer. He's always offered a beer, almost in every scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll have one sip. Like, so he'll have like the neck of the beer.
Right.
He puts it down. That's it. And so it's like he'll have a taste. And then with the women, he'll get like a quick
kiss. The same thing.
And that's it. Yeah. It's just like
neck.
It's
no
just
tongue, and then he'll drop them.
It's a taste of everything, but never full on. There was a virgin in the last, I think the last episode watched. And it was just like, is Magnum? I don't think he's that kind of guy. Come on, Magnum.
Right.
You're better than that.
Someone who's a virgin who's like 25, 27 years old. You're going to want to marry that girl.
Yeah.
Let's make a statement here, Dork Forest. Yeah. At that point, she's been waiting for something. It's better be pretty special. Though if you're a 27-year-old virgin, for the love of Christ, I'd like to also take the opposite and go, just fuck somebody.
Yeah.
Now it's exhausting.
Anybody
at this point, because then you will realize, while it is wonderful, you really just got to get over that first hump. Huh?
See what you did there.
That was 16 minutes in. That might be the clip, people. That might be it. Anyway. So, So does he have family? Seriously, you know, I've seen a half an episode of Magnum PI, which is weird.
Oh, wow. Now, you know what? That's a good question. I feel like it may have come up later, but yeah.
Like some sort of disgusting kind of brother that shows up.
Yeah.
Like season four. Really, was he in Vietnam? That. Or was he in Vietnam?
That's how they all know each other. He and his buddies. They were all in Vietnam together. I actually have his Da Nang hat. And
what do you have?
Like his Vietnam hat. Like,
there's a hat that he wears in the thing. Wait, do you have it from the show?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it? A prop shop?
I think a friend got it for me, like, for Christmas one year.
Wow.
That is
the cred that we are looking for here at the Forest.
Huntsberger is actually going to print up TC's company's Island Hopper t-shirts for us just to wear together. I grew out a mustache. Just to watch it one Monday. I mean, we're total dorks for it.
And you guys that's the plan. You're like,
that's it.
7 o'clock, one of your apartments, whatever.
Yeah, we just,
and you sit around. Do you have food? Do you cook for each other?
Yeah. We had bratwurst the last time and a couple beers, you know?
Okay, do you do a little grilling or?
Yeah.
All right.
We make it a thing.
You make it a thing. And then Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
You go back in time. You get yourself a Sega Genesis.
It's the greatest. I'm not hip enough for the new game systems. They're too much. They're too complicated. There's too many buttons. There's too much going on. My attention span is crap. Sega Genesis is 3 buttons,
what I did is I walked away to show Doug Mallard Andy Ashcraft's Sega Dreamcast jacket,
man,
because he used to work for Dreamcast.
That is awesome.
And it's his winter coat.
Wow.
And it's easily 20 years old.
Yeah, that's...
So I don't know how he keeps things nice, because this hat is a month old and it's trashed.
That Sega logo, it's just beautiful to me. Just every We play mostly a lot of sports games. We play this really terrible game that's the best game, called Quarterback Club. And I don't know if anybody's
old
ever played
football.
It. It's just this old school, you know, what is it, 16-bit, 32-bit?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? 64, maybe?
I say yes.
It's one of those two things. Down there.
Right.
And it's, you know, kids today. Oh,
those
good
crazy
Lord.
Kids today. Both megs of RAM we were using.
They would hate it. But good, it's just there's something.
They're all nostalgic now. They would essentially create a new game with, like, based on Pretty Little Liars, but also 16-bit.
Yeah.
So,
but there's something about it. I don't know. And it's the same Sega I had as a kid. You know, there's something that's great about that, too. Like, I didn't go out and buy an old Sega.
Okay.
Sega, you know?
Yeah, it's like having a stuffed animal from when you were a kid. Except for that it's, you know. I wish I still had one of those Coleco. I used to have the Coleco football games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those
were
great.
I had one of those. And it was a year where I got like $50 and I tried to turn it into 7 games. And so what I would do is I would buy a game, play with it for 2 weeks, and then take it back to the Kohl's trade it in for a different game.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think I started out with $100 because it was $100 for that Coleco thing.
Yeah.
And then I just kept trading down because it was worth less and less money. I don't know how it all happened. But I got to play like Electronic Battleship that summer. And then eventually I think I got a gun. I was like, no, I want that silver pistol. That'd be great. And some caps. That was a hell of a summer, kids. Anyway, so... Okay, so that's what you guys do. And now there's 7 seasons of it.
Yeah. 7 or 8, maybe.
Does he end up... Now, you've seen them all before.
I have, but it's been a while since I've seen the final... We're doing it in order.
Right, you're not playing around.
It's
this
weird thing. I have...
There's a structure.
I got so into Magnum back in Austin that there was actually... This is kind of a whole... I'm going to sound like a horrible person.
Uh-oh.
But... So I got, this is how addicted I got. This crazy stripper neighbor came by crying, banging on my door. I'm in the middle of this epic episode and she's banging on the door. I let her in. She's got a, her eyes kind of swollen.
You are not the hero of the story. Going the way I think it's going.
Some guy, she's like, my ex, hit me. This is horrible. there was a domestic disturbance.
Right.
And she comes in and she's really upset. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I give her a big hug and she just hugs me back. But over the shoulder, I'm just like kind of taking a peek at we're at the end there. And, it's coming up, and I still trying to stay tuned, but also,
because you don't have a DVR probably at the time. Yeah. And it's all real time.
And then right after that, there's a banging on the door, and I have almost been murdered before by a man that jumped through a window. So, which was random circumstances.
Right. It's when you were in NOM.
Yeah. And, I was just wrong place, wrong time. Didn't know the person. It was strange, but.
That is.
Anywho, and that was maybe a year prior. So, I'm still a little jumpy. Even now, still a little jumpy. And
sure.
Banging on the door after she just yelled all this crazy stuff. And it's just a comic buddy of mine that's just playing a goof. And he was yelling, I'm going to mess you up and you better get out of here. Just the worst timing anyone's ever had in the history of the world.
Oh, so good. You are, you're not the worst person in this story.
I guess he top. Daniel Kilpatrick, Daniel Jackson. As soon as I open the door, they see this crying woman and they're just like,
he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And I just was like, go away.
Right.
But.
Now's not the time.
But, we watched some Magnum. She chilled out. It was fine. You just look
Magnum
at Selleck's mustache. You're good.
That's it. It just, you say to yourself, it could be worse, and he'll make it better, this guy. He's a charming guy.
He is. He hasn't really aged much.
No, he looks the same. There'll be a year. He'll hit, 70.
Yeah.
And essentially, he'll probably lose, 35 pounds.
Yeah.
And he'll be just a wiry old dude. But until that time, he will have a full hair and a mustache.
He's got that mustache rocking still.
That's crazy.
We had a day, a Magnum Monday recently, where we got really depressed because we realized I'm 35.
Right.
I think Huntsberger's 34.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked up because he's just such a man. And he's always got that giant chest hair, that barreled chest and that mustache. And he's such a tall, big dude.
Yeah, he's 6'5".
Yeah, he's a giant.
Four.
And so we were like, how old do you think he is here? Because he just looks like such a man.
Right. He's
he was our age. And it was just like, there's no way if I was on screen, I could be anything close to ever. Ever in my life, I will never
look like that guy.
I'll never be. His mustache is more of a man than I am. I can't.
You're at your peak right now.
Yeah.
And he was that guy when he was your age. As I think about the same thing with women, where you're just like, the
mustaches.
Best looking. Yeah. Well, you're like, this is the best looking I'm ever going to be. And I'm so much better looking than I was, whatever. And you're like, oh, but I'm never going to be that woman. You'll meet some. Well, this is something else, but whatever. I mean, the with women, there's two kinds. There's the super powerful mesmerizo lady.
Yeah.
Who's just people flock to her and everyone wants.
And
I watched Pretty Little Liars
and
yesterday.
They're horrible, horrible people. No.
they're just messed up. They just have been given, I think, too much power.
Yeah.
And so, because in Pretty, I don't know if you've ever seen Pretty Little Liars, which is an hour long kind of OC Gilmore Girls mashup. It's something you would watch in college. It's a nighttime soap opera, and it's about these four terrible women who are in high school but are clearly in their late 20s.
I've probably dated all of them.
Well, some variety of, and the four guys that they're all dating, they're the exact same guy with four different haircuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's buzz cut, there's one length slick back guy, there's Vinnie Barbarino, and then there's I don't know what the other guy is. Okay. But what? Oh, I bangs. That's right. And so, but whenever they would get into a fight, all of the, is it the men too? No, it's just the women. It was just the women. Whenever there would be some sort of argument, they would take half a step towards the person they were arguing with. And the, swear to God, the underlying message of that was, you know, I could fix this all if we just make out. With each other, with their moms, with the furniture, with fucking anything. They'd be like in a fight with like their schoolwork, and you'd be like, I'm just going to make out with the school book. And it was like the weirdest. I was like, oh, that is, and I've completely derailed this conversation.
Oh my God.
Would you have to watch Pretty Little Liars?
Yeah,
that's
definitely happening.
There's acting going on, and the acting seems to be this half step. We're making out, right?
Towards anything? Like
absolutely anything.
But objects?
There was a little bit of, like, because, and they also, there's probably, it's a 42-minute, right, hour-long
yeah, yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
There's probably 18 to 20 minutes of dialogue, and they do a lot of...
Wow.
There's a new thing happening. A lot of shows have it. They do, instead of writing any sort of dialogue,
yeah.
They have a character looking out the window with some music playing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right, or they'll...
Well,
in this
who
case,
needs
they'll be,
dialogue?
Right. Why don't you stare at how good-looking you are and put some makeup on, and we'll play a snippet of, my nephew just came out with a band. He lives down in Long Beach. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's get him some work. But, yeah, so... But Magnum P.I. always seems like, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the male version of that would be. And it's just sort of like horrible bros who take advantage of people. But it's like
Cagney and Lacey, but that was more like Simon and Simon, which was also Donald P. Belisario, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah, because they did a Simon and Simon Magnum crossover at one point, which is pretty sweet.
They?
Yeah, they sure did.
I've never seen that. Simon and Simon. Were they on Magnum or was Magnum on Simon?
I think they did the full on 80s, which was a thing that happened a lot in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, you'd get so excited in the preview.
Right.
And it was just,
usually disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally.
Usually hard to live up to the yeah. amount of hype.
Yeah. You're so stoked for a lot of egos there too.
Where was Simon? Did that take place in Hawaii? I don't think.
Yeah.
It did.
I think they had. Yeah, I think
they must
it went
have gone
both.
To Hawaii like
yeah,
the Brady
yeah.
Bunch did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then ran into Magnum.
There was the Brady Bunch Magnum episode. That was a good one.
CBS will do anything. And so, okay. Yeah, he's, I mean, I don't know, because he's got a new cop show out.
Yeah, and it's
you
called know,
Blue something.
We got an argument over, I think he could still play Magnum P.I., but apparently he turned down... A reunion because he was like, if we screw this up,
it's gonna ruin everyone's.
Yeah, and I respect that, but right. I'm also kind of disappointed because
it would have been
because they do so many reboots now of old yeah. shows. I'm so afraid of when they do the Magnum movie, they're just gonna.
I'd rather
it's
just
be a completely
that they did like
thing.
A panel at Comic Con.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't they just do like God. A Bailey or something? And then it would just be fine, just them just sitting around. And where did everybody else go to? Like, did everybody else keep working?
You know, Hunsberger was actually at a big Hollywood party at one point.
He's and like that.
Yeah, he sure is. When you think Hunsberger, you think glam. You
right.
Think
the
party
Hollywood life skill.
Yeah.
Playing and, Sega Genesis on a Monday. Sure.
Yeah.
That's what it's like here in Hollywood.
But he was talking about, you know, there are all these like big, you know, A-list people that he saw.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't like, you know, he's not, he's really not like that at all. And you know, Berger. And, but,
yeah.
but he was at this party. He's having a good time. He was just kind of saying these people. He wasn't like name dropping or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, I think the same night he had a chance to go to some wedding. And it turns out Rick from Magnum P.I. was DJing the wedding.
Okay.
And that's when I got jealous. It wasn't like Leo DiCaprio or whatever. It was like,
right, right.
Rick
you
from Magnum
P.I.
Larry
Rick?
Minetti. And,
oh.
and but it was also just kind of sad. I was like, Larry's DJing
everybody,
parties.
Yeah, yeah, but it's okay. Because the thing is you think about a career and you're like, yeah, there's highs, there's lows. And if he's still working,
yeah,
that's kind of a win, I think.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think it's all right. Like I saw, you ever see Moonlighting?
Oh yeah,
yeah. The woman who played the secretary.
Oh yeah, and she
dated
that...
Booger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The character played Booger on Animal
yeah,
House
yeah,
or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So I saw her at a comedy show. She was friends with the guys who were hosting, and she did a sketch with them. And I was like, I freaked out.
Yeah,
I have several pictures of her on my iPad
That's
from
awesome.
Afar that are grainy and dumb. And I'm like, and I went up and I met her. After my, I tried to meet her before my set, but
yeah.
then I was next up. And so I went up and then, so I met her after and she was like, You seem very excited. You did stand up. It was great. You were great.
You
I was
were
like,
awesome.
You were just doing some stand up. I was like, yeah, I don't think you understand. You were on Moonlighting.
Moonlight, and that kind of launched Bruce Willis's career
entirely. I think.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
That was his big. Yeah. That was.
I tweeted today. I guess we're gonna need more FBI guys. I guess. Remember that? Remember that line when the FBI, when the helicopter blows up and the bad guy cop says, or the kind of loser cop says, oh, we're going to need some more FBI guys, I guess.
Was that, oh, God.
There were three guys in the Die Hard movie who all the actors looked almost exactly the same.
They're the FBI dudes?
No. One of the FBI guys, one of the Johnsons, who was the FBI guy.
Yeah. That's
the
right.
The head of the journalist, right? Who interviewed the lady who said, I'm going to call
the guy from Ghostbusters, right?
I think he was the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Ferris Bueller, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
No.
I think he's the bad guy that unlocks the grid and Ghostbusters and lets all the he's.
Oh, is that him?
He was always an asshole in every. He was one of those guys.
Breakfast Club.
He was the detention
teacher in Breakfast Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And but him. The Johnson who the white Johnson, and the head of the cop.
One of them was from Goonies too.
Oh, they were. They all kind of looked the same. They all had the same haircut.
Yeah.
$200 haircut from 1984.
Yeah.
And it was what was available.
God, Die Hard.
It was a great movie.
So good.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother yesterday. We've completely digressed, but Raiders of the Lost Ark. My brother he was assistant manager of a movie theater when he was in college, and Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, and they would only send them one copy. And he was in a multiplex in Madison, Wisconsin, and him and his manager, they saw the preview. They just ran it, and during the middle of it, the manager turned to him, and he actually, without any irony, said, "We're gonna need a bigger theater."
Oh my God, it's so great.
Because they only had one print, because it was before, you know, now they're sure they just send DVDs.
But,
you know, now they were sending 35 millimeter. So what they did was they would start the first one at 12, and then they would just run it to another projector across the hall to the other projecting room.
Oh my God.
And start the next one at 12:05.
Wow.
And then it would just make sure hopefully there wasn't a glitch in the.
Jeez. That just made me nervous.
I know.
I just had anxiety.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah. So what are your favorite episodes? What are your favorite scenarios? What happens in a Magnum PI that makes it one of the great Magnum PIs?
Well, sadly, the first season, it's kind of digressed that it's this weird, like, it's funny just to watch for. Because it really picks
up.
Yeah. Because like, and there's even.
Is it the writing or is it the acting or is the team?
It's
not
the writing.
Or?
The acting is super. Tom Selleck really nails it.
They all nail it right from the get.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know, it's the last two episodes we watched were just horrendous, and we're almost just like, oh, an old blind lady fell in a pool in a wheelchair, and I'm going to say she was fine, but the way they shot it was just like so terrible. And we've been finding inaccuracy. Like we saw in one episode, he throws, I'm butchering Magnum,
but it gets better.
It gets way better.
It's just like high school.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I don't know if high school got better. Yeah.
It gets better after
I eloped. he throws a gun in the ocean. And we saw a scuba diver's head pop up, which clearly that was his job just between takes to keep picking up these guns that he threw in the ocean.
Okay.
And then we saw one where a lady had a bathing suit, and underneath the bathing suit, she had this bulky microphone. And then, and saw a boom mic drop down. So,
wow. So you guys are all right. So
I've got an eye for that stuff. It's really, I love catching stuff like that.
It is pretty great. But what I would like to talk about weeding off again, there are two things that you mentioned. Now that we have to talk about who leapt through a window and almost killed you.
I just talked about that on Lady to Lady.
Okay.
It was, cold grapes, but I still go in.
You still go in.
I'll
add
it was a girl.
Maybe, if I can find it. There was a girl that you were.
That I was dating.
Mm-hmm.
It was Valentine's Day. And
1998.
Something like, what was it? 2004. I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. I don't know when I almost was murdered.
Right, right.
Why would I know that?
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to make our thing official that night.
Boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yeah, because I had known her for years. We were friends.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not that good of friends because her ex was just this coked up maniac. He's banging on her door.
Right.
And just screaming. And before that, you know, we're having a serious conversation about, like, should we? Should we do this? Huh?
Right, yeah.
And I was kind of nervous. I was just on my way to a party around the corner. I didn't even really plan on doing that night.
Right.
And then there's all these texts to her, and she starts getting nervous.
Right.
And I just feel this energy. And then there's the banging on the door, banging on the back window. It's a studio apartment, banging on the front door again. And I was like, do you want me to take care of this? She's like, no. And then... Let's hide in here. Yeah, he punches through a window.
Right.
The bathroom window. I see his arm go through. And then at some point he saw me. I think that's when he didn't know I was there. That's what's messed up is like.
Oh, because this was in probably, her apartment.
Yeah, this was her place. He didn't know. And there was nothing that he should know about between us.
Yeah.
And so that's what's really scary is he was just going over there to
beat up her apartment.
Yeah, this is too. Yeah. Why am I just...
No, that's fine.
And I'm just always in the wrong place, the wrong... There should be a Magnum-like series around me.
You need a guy like Magnum P.A. to take care of you.
Yeah, and you need to follow.
So he busted the window and then climbed through it?
He jumped through the window. He got
glass
stuck,
and everything.
Yes, he got stuck halfway through. I had a beer bottle ready to just pop it over his head. And
you didn't have to because he was cutting himself to ribbons. Yeah.
But it was that weird. As soon as he, right, I had it. I had the moment and I was going to do it, but I'm not, I don't have that in me.
Right,
you know?
To slam somebody in the head with a beer bottle?
Yeah, it's
probably for the best.
Yeah, and it's good that I don't.
Right, you hesitated.
I hesitate. And it was just this thing where it's like, this isn't happening. And it was like in slow motion and, and it was weird. Like everything got quiet, like everything was shut out.
Yeah.
And he looks up and he goes, don't fuck with me right now. And I didn't. And then he gets to the window. He's 6'5". I'm not near 6'5".
Right. You are not
6'5". And no.
No one is. There's just three or four people.
It's just this Magnum P.I. and this guy jumping through a window. And he made it through the window. And my whole thing is, don't let her get hit.
Yeah.
And you don't die.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And that is your task.
It's that primal thinking where you just go, and it's good that, you know, I accomplished those things, but I got the crap kicked out of me.
Oh, did he?
Because he jumps, he like grabbed me, pushed me down on the bed, which is covered in glass because it was below the window. He rolled around in glass. He may have hit me a couple times, but then I'm a strong little guy though, luckily. Mm-hmm. I pinned his arms behind his back. And he just headbutted me for a good minute.
Oh my God.
And just boom and hard. I had two black eyes for a month. Yeah. He was coked up with meth. And then after that, the only time I got scared.
Did the police come at any time?
Way later. I was trying to call the cops immediately. I picked up my phone and then I think he knocked it out of my hand. It went under the bed.
And then, where's the heroine of this?
So she's just crying in the corner. And I'm yelling, call the cops, call the cops. And then
My least favorite lady in all movies is the one who just...
Yeah.
I'm not much of a cowerer, maybe. More proactive than... not very ladylike. It would have been more ladylike to have the vapors and then faint over in the fucking corner instead of grabbing a chair and going, why did we ever date? Which is the Jackie Cation... I'm so sorry.
No.
I don't mean to judge the poor woman who is clearly in a terrible relationship.
She did come to action at one point. That's where I got really nervous. Well, there were two parts where I got nervous. One, he picked up one of those U-shaped bike locks that are pretty heavy.
Oh, my God.
He grabs it. I'm on the bed, and I'm bleeding because I've got glass all over me. And he picks it up. And he just looks at me, looks at her, and he smiles. He smiles.
Like the evil fuck that he is.
And he's just like, this is where this guy ends. And So he's about to, and it was weird. I caught his wrist, like, when he swung it. It was like in the movies where we're doing this weird power struggle.
Right.
And
you genuinely could have been killed.
Yes, easily. Yeah. And then she, this is where I got really nervous. She comes running and crying with a knife, shaking, with her hands shaking. And that's where I was like, well.
She may accidentally stab me.
Yeah. I thought the knife was going to end up in his hands.
Right.
You know?
Oh, right.
And luckily it went under the bed where my phone was. Stabbed my phone. So right. No cops.
Right. That's where we're keeping things. We're,
yeah. Let's yeah. Keep everything under everything the under the bed. Anything useful under the bed. And so she, you know, it went under the bed. And then she got between us. She slaps him around. He just sobers up and he apologized to me. He's like, sorry, Doug. Sorry, Steph. He knew me, but he didn't know me. Like, I'd met him. He totally normal a couple times.
He said the word sorry, Doug.
He said, sorry, Doug. Sorry, Steph. Walked out. And that was it. And then the cops showed up.
I thought you said dog.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
sorry, dog.
No. I was like, that is a little too hip
yeah.
for the room at this point. Yeah. So. But yes, your name is Doug Millard. So sorry, Doug. Makes sense. Oh, Christ.
Yeah. But yeah, so he, yeah, then the cop showed up. I threw up from shock, I think, immediately. Yeah. And then what was terrible too was I'm covered in trashy tattoos. Yeah. I have a lot of joke tattoos and stuff. So I ripped off my shirt because I'm bleeding.
Right.
And then when the cops finally show up, I'm covered in blood and I yelled because I was stressed out. More stressed out than I've ever been in my life because I've almost been murdered. I just yelled, Steph, get me a beer. And I've got this big Texas tattoo. I'm the only male there and it's a domestic violence, you know, call. So I look like the cops are questioning me and treating me like I'm a jerk. And I was
did they just grab you and
were they nicer? They were kind of yelling at me.
Right.
They were kind of treating it like she was saying like, no, he saved it.
Right.
He saved the day. But they were still like, oh, she's just protecting her abusive boyfriend.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so, which it's good that they were, you know, I think that's a good thing.
I mean,
but it sucks to be in my shoes in that situation where it's like, no, I was just almost murdered. I'm the victim.
Right. Those situations where you're either in fear for your life or you're in danger and you've taken the steps to protect yourself.
Yeah.
They do, they're slow motion. There's
absolutely.
It's like you're underwater where you're like, I maced a guy once and I've never carried mace since because I don't know if I maced him too quick and I'll never know, right? Because I just like, but he was in between me and my car.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let me get in the car. And he was grabbing me and he was like, no, I just want to talk to you for a second. And he was drunk and I was drunk and I was like, get out of the way. I'm getting in my shitty 1980s.
Do you mean like maced him too quick? Like he shouldn't have done it maybe?
Right.
What you've described, you had
like
every right.
I waited long enough.
Yeah.
I feel like because I pulled the mace out and I was like, get out of the way or I will mace you. And he's like, why would you? I just want to talk. And I was like, seriously. And then I maced him. And then he, of course, went away.
Yeah.
as he sat on the curb and was crying and was, you know, dealing with mace and swearing.
Mace eyes.
And
that's what I call him.
Drunkenly got into my vehicle and drove home.
Hey.
Why wouldn't I drunkenly? He wasn't like he was trying to stop me drunk driving either. It was, which would have been.
He's actually a guardian angel that you've blinded.
Right. But like it was such a. I barely remember that night. I don't even know why. Because I was far from the bar because I had to park far away.
Yeah.
And he had been leaning against the car. And I didn't know him. I never knew him.
Yeah.
I'll never know him.
Yeah.
and he lived. So we
was this back
in Minneapolis? Yeah.
Wow.
It was probably.
Wouldn't it be weird if he ran into you and he recognized like,
he was
hey.
Like, I was the guy.
I've really changed my ways. You turned my life around that night.
Right. I realized I shouldn't try to talk to people when I'm
He's
super
like, you're
hammered.
Not still drinking and driving, are you?
I am not. And well, what's weird is shit like that happens because I had I've told the story, I think, a dozen times on the podcast. But my heckler story, right, was when I first started doing stand up in Madison. There was a heckler who followed me. It was just all one room. Right. It was just a four wall in a Best Western. So I don't do well. Two hecklers in the audience heckle me. I walk past the hecklers. One of them's passed out. The other one follows me up to the bar where I order a mug of beer.
Yeah.
And I have my mug of beer and I'm mad because my set didn't go well, and I was angry. And this guy comes and he stands right behind me. He's probably 6 feet tall. And I make a very immature decision that if he talks to me one more time, I'm throwing my beer at him.
Yes.
And he doesn't. He touches me. I feel him touch my shoulder. Bartender and the bouncer both say afterwards that he was reaching over my to grab my breast.
Because
a classy dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't matter because I turn around, throw the beer at him. Missing him completely, hitting the man behind him full in the face. Now, heckler guy grabs that guy's drink, throws it at me. So I'm soaking wet, guy behind him soaking wet, heckler guy laughing.
Oh, no.
And so I punched him, and I forgot that I was holding the beer mug. So I clocked him with a mug of beer.
And he deserved it.
Fell to the ground and rose up and was screaming, it's not my shining moment. He screamed, you fucking dyke, I'm going to kill you. And I said, you got a problem with homosexuality, faggot? A charming sentence that I've since
that tattooed on you, right?
Well, we were both kicked out of that bar, and because it wasn't a romantic comedy, we didn't end up dating. Here's the follow up. I'm doing a string of one nighters for I think it was Muller. Anyway, in the Midwest, this guy, Ken Muller.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So Guitar Comic from Wisconsin is the headliner. I'm featuring. It's 1993 or 94. And we're driving in his car and we start telling each other heckler stories. And he tells me that story that I just told you. He was the guy I hit with the drink.
Oh, my God.
We both had to pull over and find a payphone because it was 1994.
Wow.
And call our respective loved ones.
Oh, my God.
To say, oh, my God, we found the people. And I wish I could remember his name. I can't remember his name.
Oh, boy.
So that, I mean, that's a crazy.
That's almost like a rom-com.
Right. That's the rom-com.
In the end, it's like a some sort of.
When Harry Met Sally kind of moment.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Wow.
We also did not end up dating. Me and the Guitar Comic from Wisconsin.
What was he doing comedy then?
Yeah, he had just come to check out the room. He'd come to check out the shitty
one-nighter.
Comic
heckling?
No, he was the guy behind the heckler.
Oh, yeah, got you. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It was, we're going to go a little over because I have clearly digressed into.
Oh, no, this is great.
And what you didn't get to do, is there anything else you'd like to just, when you tell people, could they start season two? If they wanted to get in on Magnum PI, every episode stands alone, right? There's not a big arc.
Well, you know, part of it's just the campiness of any 80s show is great, you know, mm-hmm. A-Team, all that stuff, Knight Rider. But, yeah, you got to just stick with it or leap in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Go into season three or season four.
Yeah, try a couple of episodes. You know, it's like not seeing Transformers 2. And seeing Transformers 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll get it.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be
fine.
Yeah, you're looking. G.I. Joe 2 was fine. I didn't have a lot of G.I. Joe information before going in. Still, there was a lot of blowing up. There was some jumping up and down.
That's
it
most movies
out.
These days.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Now, very briefly, because, you know, I know we could talk another hour about your favorite superheroes. Because you said, I could talk about superheroes. And I like that sort of.
I could talk about superheroes forever.
I like the sweeping statement that is that. What defines a superhero?
Well, Magnum Pietno.
he's kind of a superhero, right?
I like to think on that Valentine's night, I was a superhero. No, I was a comic book kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, I mean, when you say I love superheroes, what do you mean? Do you mean I love Batman?
Yeah, I love Batman. So I was a Spider-Man junkie growing up. That was my jam. I actually at one point prayed for the powers of Spider-Man when I was in the. I didn't know
why
how
not?
Prayer worked. I was
yeah.
in the second grade.
Sure, that's how prayers work. You pray, and sometimes you get them, and when you want to be Spider-Man, you don't.
And I kept leaping onto the wall, not sticking, and just. Basically beat the hell out of myself.
You were just throwing yourself against the wall?
Yeah, just
maybe,
trying to land
it. I had a cousin like that. Maybe he wanted to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, no idea. You should ask.
Well, I know people. I used to babysit for this kid who literally cried, sobbed her heart out when she turned 11 and didn't get a letter from Hogwarts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She just was beating herself up. But Spider-Man, how do you feel about Spider-Man now? Have you tried to read it or watch any of the movies or...
Oh,
Spider-Man's hard when you get older.
I did not like the
The Amazing?
The second one. I liked the first one okay. The second one I did not care for. I feel like with the Superman franchise, they're trying to, like, the Avengers set up so carefully,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the course of like almost a decade, they
right.
pieced together the Avengers with all these
movies.
From
the Iron Man and Thor and all that.
And then I feel like with this new Superman thing, they're just like, let's make the Justice League happen next, immediately,
right.
you know,
right.
this next one, they've got Aquaman and Green Lantern and all these, you know, Flash, everybody. But it was the same thing with Spider-Man where I felt like the sequel, they had... They just jammed in the villains because they're doing a Sinister Six spinoff,
mm-hmm.
Which is just a villains movie, which it's like, well, don't they fight someone? Because then there
right.
has to be, they're billing it
there
as a villains thing, but it, so is the villain the hero? How
right.
does this make sense? But most of the Sinister Six is in the new Spider-Man movie, but I felt like they're just cramming, like, we got to get the Sinister Six movie out because we signed this deal. And
right.
so I just feel like it's too rushed.
It's Rhino and Goblin and...
Yeah, and, I think it's going to be Rhino, Goblin, Electro... And three others, Dr. Octopus.
Okay.
And Vulture and one more, I guess. But
there
yeah,
has
just,
to be a lady. They have to have some sort of spandexy lady.
Yeah, I don't know. Well.
Maybe it'll be something is happening in
something.
I think
happening.
Daredevil, where Daredevil, Electro, some sort of. It's not Catwoman. It isn't Batgirl. It isn't. I don't know who the hell it is.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
But she found Electro, and she used to. And Daredevil just fought her in the most recent Daredevil comic, and so I can't remember what character it was, but maybe it's her.
Maybe yeah.
Hey, guess what? I have a third of the information, Rangers. Get out there, Google something.
What's crazy is like I was a comic book kid, took 2 decades off.
Mm-hmm.
And then being a comic and being at Meltdown
stand-up,
Comics
yeah.
a lot, doing stand-up and,
yeah.
and just going to shows and stuff, like, you're back in that world.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's flooding back. And now I'm a junkie. Like, now I'm there all... Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Trying to... We bought all three Guardian
oh, nice.
Titles. We bought the legendary Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon.
No
and,
way. See,
and
I
Guardian,
just...
written by this Corona Pilgrim, might be good because previously... The last arc was written by Bendis.
Yeah.
Who I like his dialogue. He's fine. The Guardians of the Galaxy arc he wrote was an X-Men fucking title where the Guardians of the Galaxy just show up in the background and you're like, just why would you take my Guardians of I read X-Men. We don't need you to fuck up my Guardians of the Galaxy. Why you gotta be an asshat?
I am so excited about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing.
It's so good that The Abnett.
I've not started Saga, and I've heard it's
good.
Amazing.
It's pretty great. And then there's something called Cowl that Meltdown actually recommended. This thing, Kyle Higgins. I don't know his work offhand, but Alex Siegel. But the art is really good. And so, I mean, I don't know a lot about.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I don't know a lot about DC superheroes, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We mostly read Huntress and Power Girl, and they're from, like, Earth 2. They're
from
a parallel Earth, and they've landed on Earth Prime Earth, only called Prime because we're here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Duh.
But did you read Secret Six? Did you ever read that? Gail
no.
Simone Secret Six? That's a great arc for DC, where they were supervillains, and they're kind of like the Thunderbolts, where they end up doing good. And there was a creepy, creepy, he's a villain, like he's a crazy person, but the Secret Six would get hired by like to go save somebody.
Yeah.
And so they were a team. And Ragdoll was this incredibly crazy,
I know, yeah.
super crazy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Dressed and painted up like a ragdoll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
God, that's creepy.
And that's my thing with DC is that it gets a little creepier than I need.
Yeah.
So I like Marvel superheroes kind of better. And the movies are better.
Yeah, I feel like Stan Lee too, like, and Jack Kirby did such a great job of like a lot of the superheroes had kind of like different like there was a lesson behind, you know, Spider-Man was like a teenager
stuff.
That like you could identify with that had a hard time in school getting picked on and X-Men was more about, you know, like I feel like civil rights activism and stuff like that. And it's, so I feel like there's a lot more like real story behind it, whereas like Superman just has all the powers in the world. The end, you know.
The end. Try to beat him. Oh, Batman. You don't have any kryptonite? I guess you can't.
And it's like Batman is like, yeah, I'm sorry, your parents died 50 years ago. Get over it. Good Lord.
Right. Everybody's parents died. So many people's parents died. Spider-Man turned his uncle's dying into something real. You know?
Yeah.
Turned it into something nice.
Yeah, he sure did.
And
that was sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I sleptwalked when when I was in the second grade when we moved. And I remember I was really deep into comics at that point. I would do it was night terrors where you can see and you're walking and talking. And the first couple times I had bunk beds with my brother, and the first couple times he didn't know what was going on. He was just freaked out because I was just screaming in the middle of the night, wake him up. And then he started, once we figured out what it was, my parents like kind of sat us down and like explained to my older brother who would be 8, I guess, or 10, 12. And just like, hey, you know, you need to take care of your little brother when he's going through this. Mm-hmm. We need to try to get him out of it. And I remember one time, I still can remember the like seeing them and talking to them.
Right.
But you're asleep. And I woke up and I was like, go in the other room and see if I'm Batman. And he was just like, but at that point he thought it was hilarious. So just like, yep, you are. And then I was just like, oh God. And then at one point I remember waking up my parents in the middle of the night, and like, we only lived in this house for like a year. And I remember this vividly. I shake them and I'm crying and I'm just like, the Fantastic Four were just killed by Green Goblin. And they're just like, what the hell is going on?
Wow. And they still let you read comic books?
Yeah, they sure did. They sure did.
They're like, oh, it's probably not the content.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It'll be fine. That is hilarious. Doug Millard. Tell me briefly, let us get your website out there. It's Twitter to find out where you're doing.
Yeah, you can
stuff.
Just step.
This will come out end of July. Are you working the road much or?
End of July, I will be.
In August, I'm trying to think. Are you doing?
August, I'll be. I'm taking a little mini vacation to Santa Fe. If you want to just see me in Santa Fe,
I'm so jealous.
I am. Anyway. I'm meeting my girlfriend's parents, her dad for the first time. I'm so excited. Okay. Seeing her mom. But who I love. But I can't wait. It's going to be great. But then the week after that, August 20th through the 23rd, mm-hmm. or 21st through the 24th, something like that, I'm in Portland at the Helium with Dave Foley. So that'll be a blast.
And end of the month in August, you're going to be Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I know I have some LA dates, but I can't think of them. But just find me at Doug Millard on Twitter. And you can find
and
all my
check it out.
Dates.
And you play Austin pretty regularly, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be
Portland
at
Philly or Buffalo.
Yeah, I haven't in a while, but I'll probably be back up there soon. I'm doing Cap City the 15th through the 18th of October.
Okay,
and then I'm doing Fun Fest again in November 7th, 8th, 9th.
Right, I've heard of that.
And
it is
a blast.
Is it fun?
It is fun.
It's a festival of funness.
That's always the weirdest thing about it. It's one of my favorite festivals. And it's just like, it's this weird thing where you're just like, fun fest. And like, and you always want to just say, it's really fun, but it just feels stupid.
Right. Because you've already said the word
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. It's a lot
and
of fun.
Is it just stand up or is it also music?
No, it's music. It's four states. There's a hip hop, a metal state. Judas Priest is playing.
Oh my gosh.
Run DMC reunited for it one year.
Road
it's
trip.
Insane. Yeah. It's great. So, and the stand up, John Waters performing on the yellow stage.
Oh, that's
this year.
Cool.
And,
you know, he wrote a new book.
The hitchhiking thing.
Did you try it?
I just heard about it yesterday. I'm so excited to check it out.
I want to download the Audible.
Because
I'd rather hear him read it than not.
Oh my God. I didn't even think of that. That is great. And I just sounded like Will Arnett. That was weird.
That is all right. What I usually ask people what they're reading. Is there anything you'd recommend? What would you like to read?
Actually, just comics right now. And
any good
screenwriting books.
How to write a screenplay.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And I did hear about a book. Oh crap. I can't think of it, but it's about a guy. I want to check it out about it. The Hollywood Scientology scene and a guy that got
Clear.
Out of it. Yes, yes.
That's what it's called.
I want to check it out.
Somebody else told me about it. I said, well, that sounds terrifying. Do you know what I'm going to do? Just not join Scientology and not know all the ins and outs
I'm
about
so
it.
I'm so curious. It sounded intense, but that and the John Waters book, like I just heard about him yesterday. And other than that, on the vinyl, John Lennon. He's
John
long
Lennon?
Since passed.
Oh yeah, that guy's amazing. His new stuff.
Sean Lennon is on's a new band with his wife or girlfriend or fiance or whatever. Ghost of the Sabretooth Tiger
is
something?
The name of the band.
So great.
It's a great band.
So yeah,
and they got a new
fantastic
album. Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And July 22nd, Dan the Automator is this amazing artist. Has Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah,
his girlfriend and that they have an album coming out that's like hip hop, French pop, 60s fusion. It sounds
and you've
crazy,
heard some
but
of it, or?
Well, I just trust Dan the Automator because he's this amazing like hip hop mogul. That's AUTOMATOR.
Okay,
he's just been behind a producer behind so many things. He did an album called Handsome Boy Modeling School that used a Funny Man. Oh shit, Chris Elliott.
There you go. You found it.
And then Tim
you
Meadows.
Your
on...
way into a name. Well done.
Oh, we're going way over, but
it's all good.
He's a genius, and I'm really looking forward to that. But
okay, well, that is all awesome. That is, thank you so much for doing
thank
this.
You.
We talked easily 35 minutes about Magnum PI, which is one of my favorite things to be able to say out loud. Doug Mellard, you guys, go see him do stand-up comedy. And thanks again for listening, Rangers. Take care out there. Bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?